Later in the service. I was going to say after the baptism, but we'll see. But we're going to listen to God's words together, first of all. We're going to think this morning about baptism. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. We're going to read where Jesus gets baptized. Because we're going to think today a little bit about Jesus' baptism and what it's got to do with our baptism. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, really, is how Jesus' baptism is the real baptism. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me." But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see Jesus in the word this morning, that you'd open up our hearts to receive him, Lord, to trust him. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would see the glory of what Jesus has done for us as we consider your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus' baptism is very unique event in his life. And perhaps it's one that sometimes we might be tempted to not focus on quite so much, because some of the other things that Jesus did, we can put into neat categories. So we've got his miracles, we've got his teachings, but something like Jesus' baptism doesn't fit into any of those neat categories that we have. So what's going on when Jesus gets baptized? There's two very important things that happen here, and I want us to see this morning at Jesus' baptism. First of all, it's the first thing that we see is that the Father declares his love for his Son. That's what happens at Jesus' baptism. The Father declares his love for his Son. And the second thing that we see happening is that Jesus takes our place. And both of those things we see happening here when Jesus gets baptized. Both of them are very important for us and what we're doing this morning as we come to these baptisms. So first of all, the Father declares his love for his Son, and he wants that love to be known. So the Father, the last verse we read there, we hear this voice that comes from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the Father wants his love to be known. It's not a secret sort of love. The Father isn't simply quietly pleased with his Son. He's not quietly chuffed. No, he wants his love to be known. It's not like in Mary Poppins or something with some reserved upper class British father who doesn't want to who doesn't want to say too much about his love for his children and his delight in them, we don't need someone to come along from the outside like Mary Poppins to get the Father to express his love. No, God is a Father who delights in expressing the love that he has for his Son. He wants his Son to know his great love for him, and he wants others to know how much he loves his Son. It's like at the Olympics. I'm sure I've told some of you have heard me say before about the South African swimmer's dad at the Olympics. That 2 years ago in London, when the Olympics was on, Claire Balding was interviewing this South African swimmer's dad, and the race was going on behind him. And in the middle of the interview, his son won the race, and he won the gold medal. And the father, it didn't matter to him anymore that he was being interviewed live on the BBC, but he jumped out of his chair and started shouting about, my son, my beautiful son, look at my beautiful boy, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he beautiful? Look at my son. And that He wanted to express the great love he had for his son, and he didn't. He wasn't ashamed to do it live on the BBC. That he wanted the whole world to know how wonderful his son was. He wanted the whole world to know the great delight that he had in his son. He wanted everyone to know how much he loved him. And that's a little bit like what goes on at Jesus' baptism, that our Heavenly Father wants the world to know the great love that he has for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So at Jesus' baptism, we see the love of the Trinity. The Father declares his love. The Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove. And so we see the loving fellowship of the Trinity at Jesus' baptism. We see them there together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there united together in love. But before this voice comes from heaven, and before the dove descends, something else happens. You see, just to get baptized, Jesus has to do something that's in some ways unexpected. And certainly unexpected by John, because he tries to stop Jesus. So in verse 14, it says, John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? So John wasn't expecting this to happen. So what is this unexpected thing that Jesus does? Well, he identifies with sinners. He identifies with us. You see, who is Jesus? He's God in the flesh. He's never done anything wrong. He's never sinned. But why are all these people going out to the Jordan to be baptized by John? It tells us earlier on in the chapter, in verses 5 and 6, then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And then in verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we see there that they were being baptized because of their repentance for sin. They were in baptism. They were confessing their need of God the Savior to wash them from their sins. But Jesus is God the Savior. He is the one who washes people from their sin. So he has no need to be washed from sin. And yet he joins the queue to be baptized. He identifies with us in all our sin. He takes our place as he goes through the waters. See, Jesus didn't have any need of being baptized, but he did it for us. What's the answer that he gives to John to explain why he wants to be baptized? He says in verse 15, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What's Jesus talking about when he says that his baptism is fitting to fulfill all righteousness? Well, his righteousness is all his perfect obedience to his Father for us. And when we trust in Jesus, we're clothed in him for righteousness. All his perfect obedience becomes ours. You see, Jesus lived his whole life for us so that where we've failed, he succeeded. Where we've disobeyed, he obeyed for us. Where we've sinned, he is our perfect righteousness. So Jesus was baptized for us, and it's his baptism that gives the meaning and the power to our baptism. For in his baptism, he shows us that he has come to take our place to save us. But when Jesus talks about his baptism, he isn't just talking about what happened that day at the River Jordan. In Luke chapter 12, verse 50, a long time after that day at the Jordan, he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. It's a long time after the day he went out to John the Baptist to be baptized, and yet he's still talking of his baptism as future. Because Jesus connects his baptism to the cross. Because baptism only makes sense in light of the cross. Because it's the cross that is the true power and significance of baptism. Why do we get baptized in water? Well, because in the Old Testament, water was a sign of God's judgment. So we have Noah. We know that in Noah's day, God sent judgment on the world by sending the flood. And so he brought his judgment through water. In Moses' day, he brought his judgment on the armies of Egypt when the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea on the dry land, but the waters came crushing in over the Egyptians. And when Jonah was refusing to obey God and fleeing from what God had sent him to do, God brought his judgment by a storm on the sea, and Jonah was thrown overboard. Now, in each of those cases, God saved his people through the waters, through the judgment. But in each case, the water speaks of God's judgment. So we're baptized in water because water is a sign of God's judgment. But in baptism, the point is that we're not left in the water. No, we pass safely through the waters of God's judgment and come out safely on the other side. How? Because Jesus has gone through the waters of God's judgment for us in his death in our place on the cross. He's taken the punishment that we deserved for our sins. He has borne the wrath of God for us. And so in him, we can pass safely through the judgment and out the other side into newness of life. So if Jesus' baptism is the real baptism, then what about our baptism? Why are Pulmo and Hera being baptized today? And why is their baptism so important? Well, our baptism is a baptism in union with Christ. We are baptized into his baptism. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So united to Christ, we are buried with him. We pass safely through the waters of judgment in him, and then we are raised with him. United to him, we enter that water in him. And just as surely as we feel the waters envelop us, we know that we are washed in the blood. We know the bond of the Spirit who unites us to Jesus as well-beloved sons in the well-beloved Son. And we know the Father's declaration of love for us in Jesus. Just as surely as we are embraced by the waters of baptism, so we are embraced by the overflowing love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not that Jesus' baptism is merely an example for us to follow, nor did Jesus in his baptism simply hallow the waters so that they'd be a blessing to us. No, it's that Jesus' baptism is the real baptism. And in our baptism, we are joined to him in his double baptism. The one in the Jordan and the one at Calvary. See, baptism is important and baptism is powerful because in baptism, God is at work. Baptism is God's word to us that we have been buried with Christ, that we have died with him, that we have died to sin, and that we've been raised with him. So Christ is now our life. So baptism is an assuring word from God to us. Why? Not because it speaks about us. It's not a word about my commitment or my achievement. No, it's God's assuring word to us because it speaks to us about Jesus. Baptism is a gospel word. That's what the sacraments are. They are visible words. They set forth the gospel before our eyes and our senses. So in the Lord's Supper, with our eyes, we see the emblems of Christ's broken body and his shed blood for us. And with our senses, we taste and see that the Lord is good. And in baptism, with our eyes, not only do we see this representation of being buried with Christ and raised to newness of life, but with our senses, we feel the water and that we know that in Jesus we have passed safely through the waters of God's judgment and been brought out safely on the other side. And if Jesus' baptism is the real baptism, if we're united to him in his baptism, then in our baptism we stand in the water in the love of the triune God. We hear the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit spoken over us. And we know that united to Jesus, we've been brought into his loving relationship with his Father in the Spirit. We know that we're now well-beloved sons in the well-beloved Son. And we know that in Jesus, the Father loves us and is well-pleased with us. We know that the Father wants us to know his great love for us. And he wants everyone else to know about it too. Just like that South African swimmer's dad. Just as the Father is declaring his love over Jesus, he also declares his love over all those who've been united to Jesus through faith. Baptism is a gospel word that speaks Christ to us. Christ who came and lived for us, who obeyed for us, who died for us and rose for us, and to whom we're united. And that's why baptism's so important. And that's why the New Testament knows of no such thing as non-baptized Christian. The call to come and be baptized is the call to come and receive this loving, assuring, gracious gospel word. And so that's the question for you this morning. Have you received this good news of Jesus? Do you know him as your Savior who came and lived for you, obeyed for you, died for you and rose for you? Do you know him as the one who's given himself to you so that all yours is his and all his is yours? If you want to know him, if you want to receive him, you can. Come to him today, and he will welcome you with his open arms into the loving fellowship of his Father in the Spirit. And if that's what you're doing today, if you're coming to Jesus today to take hold of him for salvation, then you want to come and speak to me afterwards too, so that we can arrange a baptism for you as well, so that you can be baptized into Jesus' baptism. May all glory and honor be to him and him alone. Amen.